Welcome to AZCardinals.com. Back to our Combine live chats here with head coach Bruce Arians. Thanks for joining us today, coach.
My pleasure.
We're back in the suite where you guys are going to be watching all the workouts over the next few days. So I guess the best way to start this is as you've come back as a head coach, what's it been like for you being in this situation, which you've been through many times before, but obviously for the first time in this situation?
Yeah, a couple different things. First, coming back to this stadium, which brought back a lot of great memories from this past year. And then to come back as a head coach is a very rewarding feeling amongst your peers. And it's been my 21st combine and the first one as a head coach. It's pretty exciting.
This next question is from Blake Murphy. How is coaching a veteran quarterback different than coaching a young quarterback or a rookie quarterback?
I think with a veteran, he's already set in some of his ways, and your job as a coach is to put him in a situation that he can be successful in, because you know what his skill set is. When you're bringing in a young one, you think you know what his skill set is, and you've got him for the first time, so you kind of mold him the way you want him. And the things with veterans is that when you try to get a veteran, you try to get one that's going to fit what you want him to do schematically, and you definitely want a guy that's a leader.
Is it harder in that situation if a guy's been around a few years to work with him because he isn't sure if he wants to change anything, or do you find that most guys are pretty willing to listen?
I think the good ones will listen. Everybody wants to be coached. I want to be better, and they all want to win. If you can teach them and get them that feeling that, hey, he's really helping me, then they'll buy in.
The next question is from Chris Yount. How much can a improved or a better offensive line help a quarterback?
No, help a bunch, because you're going to have a better running game too, you know. And but yeah, when you get your guys and you have cohesiveness, I think what hurt us last year was playing 8, 9, and 10. You know, once you get up to that many different offensive linemen, you're going to struggle because there's no continuity. And you know, once we get some guys healthy, and hopefully, knock on wood, stay healthy, we're a lot better than what we showed last year.
Is that an important message going forward? I mean, I don't think you're going to say that just to say it, but I mean, is it important for people to understand that you do see some talent in that offensive line?
Oh, there's no doubt. When I watch the tape, you know, and then you throw Levi back in the mix, a premier left tackle. The young guys, Robert Massey, played extremely well. He got better and better as the season went on. Potter got in there at the end. You got to see so many guys on film because so many guys got hurt. So everybody got the chance to put something positive on tape. Our job is to put them in positions to be successful.
Question from John Lund. Can you teach a quarterback accuracy?
I think you can improve all phases of their mechanics. Now, some guys, if the flaw is so difficult in their throwing motion, especially from the trunk up, it's going to be hard. Majority of accuracy problems are your legs. Guys overstride, they understride, they put themselves in bad position, and they put a lot of stress on their arm. So, yeah. Fundamentals, just like any other position, that's why golfers go to the driving range every day. Tiger's a great player. Rory's a great player, but they're at that driving range every day. Quarterbacks need to be at the driving range every day.
I assume when you're looking at guys coming out at the draft, especially, you're noticing those. You're seeing, in this case, if we're talking about accuracy, you're noticing if those flaws are fixable or not fixable, and that goes into the equation of whether you want them or not?
It's a huge part of it, and some things are easily tweaked. Others going to take some time, you know. And you got to go out when you change it, just like changing a golf swing. It's not going to happen overnight, and you don't really want to do that with a very high draft choice. You want him to already have that stroke, and then you just play with his mind a little bit and be more of a teacher than a swing coach. When you're a swing coach, you usually got problems.
When you're here at the combine, you know, obviously you know a ton of other coaches. All the coaches, there's always these connections to other teams. Is there a lot of discussion that goes on about these players with guys from other teams, or is it very hush-hush? What's that like? What's that relationship when you're seeing these guys all the time and you know them, but obviously you want to keep stuff proprietary too?
Yeah, I think any information you get, you can throw out the window. They're lying to you. It's all secretive, you know. Nobody wants, especially the GMs and the scouts, man. They want to keep that stuff as secretive as possible. Some coaches will talk to you, tell you, you like this guy, you like that guy. You know, but there's not a lot of information being swapped, no.
When you're talking then, I mean, are we just talking about how's your family and that kind of thing? When you see your friends?
See your guys, your buddies, you know, and talk about the family and talk about the guys that are on their team. Or maybe if you coached there before, you talk about those guys.
Eric Holmgren asked about Levi Brown and the possibility of playing guard. Obviously, he's played tackle his whole career. Yesterday Steve Keim mentioned to us that you're going to want to get the best five guys out there. Is Levi playing guard something that would pop into your head or?
He is a talent, and I don't think he'd have any problem playing guard. But tackles are harder to find, and depending on what is available in the draft, free agency, the six or seven guys that we set up and suit on Sunday, you like to have position flexibility. I would see him more as a left tackle, right tackle than a guard.
Carl Hatcher asked about how you built your staff and how you're going to build your defense. Was any consideration taken into the factor that, there's a couple of young dual threat quarterbacks in this division that you're going to be seeing four times a year? Does that enter into it at all?
Yeah, and that was one of the things Todd Bowles had familiarity going up against Washington twice last year. One of the reasons Nick Rapone, also a longtime friend, but he's a college defensive coordinator for the last 15 years, and he's seen every kind of option there is known to man. There was some thought to it. Guys that more so that can work together, share the same passion, same philosophy that we all share. But those two quarterbacks present a lot of problems, and the biggest thing, we're fast on defense. We need to get faster, and we need to get tougher.
You've been asked this question a lot the last couple of days. A lot of coaches and GMs have about the dual threat quarterbacks and the read option and where that goes. Is that something that after an off season of all these defensive coordinators around the league looking at it, that it's going to, you think, impact how that offense is run next year?
I think it'll affect some people who try to do it without great athletes. It's different when you have a Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton, RG3, Russell Wilson. They're going to make enough plays when they drop back to pass, just containing them. But when they start running the option, they put themselves in harm's way because the league rules allow you to hit them. And you saw it in the Super Bowl. Guys were teeing off on the quarterback, which is totally legal. So I think the defensive coordinators will – they've seen something new for the first time. They're going to go back and they're going to study it. Years ago, all of a sudden, everybody was in an empty set. The run and shoot came in. Oh, it's going to take over the league. It kind of phased out.
Right.
I think everything's in a phase. But when you have a great athlete at quarterback, I see those guys hurting teams more when they drop back to pass than they do on read options.
You've been fortunate enough to work with some very good quarterbacks over the years. You were in a position where Andrew Luck was drafted first last year when you were with the Colts. As a coach, obviously you'd love to have the great quarterback, but is there a certain excitement of the thrill of the chase to find that guy or to build that guy or to mold that guy?
Yeah, I think that's what really got me excited about last year coaching, and was the fact that I knew we were going to have one of those top three guys. The fact that even just him, but about six or seven other rookies on offense in Indianapolis, it's fun working with young guys who are determined to be good. They have a great passion for the game and good knowledge for the game. When we're out scouting and when we're out looking and evaluating these players, that's what we're looking for, no matter what position. A great passion for the game and great knowledge about football.
Philosophically, if you draft a quarterback high, and let's say in this case we're talking about the first round, are we in a position in the NFL these days where you can still afford to have that guy sit out and learn for a year, or do you need to play him? How do you kind of see that as a coach?
I've never been one to sit him on the bench. I don't know what he learned sitting on the bench, other than sit on the bench. He's not going to get any reps in practice because your starter's going to get all the reps. So if you want him to develop, you give him every rep in practice and you throw him out there and let him sink or swim. And hopefully you can put enough talent around him and he's strong enough mentally that he can handle the downside. And sometimes they can't handle the upside. They can't handle the really good times, but if they can handle the down times and they're mentally tough, you're going to have a pretty good one.
Question from Shannon Robinson. What kind of running scheme do you use? What's your kind of philosophy of how you want to run the ball? I know a lot of people like to talk about the zone blocking scheme, that kind of stuff. How do you kind of see that?
Well, we start out old school. We're double team kick out. And we're going to knock somebody off the ball, kick somebody out, run it behind that double team. But we also have some good zone stuff that we like. A lot of it depends on your runner. You have to have enough things in your offense that that you can tailor to your backs and even more so to your offensive line. What can they do best? You know, if you're more athletic offensive line, you may run some more zone stuff. If you got a big, powerful offensive line, then you might want to run more double-team kickout.
See, it's like you want to lead me right into my next question, which was very good, which is overall – you know, we heard Coach Moore mention this in his press conference. I know you've talked about it, this idea of molding your offense to fit your personnel rather than having an offense and definitely trying to get the pieces for it. How do you kind of approach that? And is that important in the day and age where you can't just dump all your players and right. get all new ones?
Well, yeah, you got to do what they can do. I think it's bad football to try to pound square pegs in round holes. You know, it's for us, it's find out what we can do. That's why we're so anxious. You know, we can't talk to our players about football right now. And until April the 2nd, all we can ask is, how you doing? How the kids? You know, we want to talk football. They want to talk football. But under the CBA, we can't do that. And it sets you back as a new staff in this evaluation process. We've watched all the film, but we can't ask them why are you doing what you did.
Does it help you that you've been through it? I mean, you were a new staff last year, and obviously the rules were in place last year. Mm-hmm. Does it help that you've been through that once already and kind of understand what it costs you?
What it really helped is we found out we could play with young players. Years past, a rookie during OTAs might get 7 or 8 snaps. Our guys came out of the spring last year, maybe 200, because they can go out 7 days a week for 12 hours a day. You know, the veterans can't work on weekends and everything else, but the rookies, they allow them to work nonstop. So our guys, they were there. We were coaching them. We stayed an extra week after the OTAs because you could do it with the rookies and had another camp, you know. So they got reps. Even going to training camp, we brought them all in 3 days early. And we kind of put the roster together that way so that we'd have enough rookies, because we were going to have a rookie quarterback, you know, that we could have 7-on-7 every day. And it helped tremendously with those guys.
When you're building something for the first time, and you've talked about building the playbook and putting all that stuff together, how long of a process is that? And I assume all that is in place by the time you are talking to the players, so you can just kind of hand it to them and go from there?
Our playbook, I don't think it's very large, you know, but it does have an area that we can stretch things to match players. Like I said, double teams versus zones, quick passing game, vertical passing game, play action game, all that's in there. And then as you install it and you watch your guys, they find out what they can do and what they can't do, and especially those skill players on offense. You know, these guys are really good at this, this, and this. Okay, we'll feature those. And then – each week get better and better at the others.
You spent a lot of time with your staff evaluating the roster, because obviously you guys don't know these guys mm-hmm. that well. What goes into that process? I mean, are you just sitting in an office watching video and taking notes? What exactly happens when you're evaluating the roster?
Yeah, I think it's a collective. You know, we watch a lot of it individually. Each position coach watches his position, every snap the guys played. Watch them as a group. Offensive line, defensive line, secondary, rating them individually and as a group. And then, you know, getting together and just putting them on the board. Do we think we can win a championship with this guy? Can we win a division with this guy? Can we break 8-8? Or do we need a better player? And then stick them all up there somewhere.
Are you anxious to get this going faster, or is this going fast enough for you that you'll use
it? It's not going fast enough for me. I want to coach football. I mean, all this stuff in shorts is nice. It's a nice beginning to a process of evaluation rookies. I want to get with our guys in Phoenix and get to know them, get a feel for them, let them get a feel for the coaching staff and start playing football.
Last thing, it's been a whirlwind for you probably for the past couple of months. I mean, do you feel like you've had time to breathe at all with everything going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, almost went through this all last year, but it was as a coordinator. There were other things that I didn't have to do. I watched Chuck do all that stuff. And so those things, they're fun. It's exciting. I'm really excited about our coaching staff, our scouting staff, and general manager and vice president. I mean, it's just a great setup. Steve and Jason and everybody, and it's going to be a good evaluation process for free agency, our football team, and the draft.
Well, we appreciate the time today, Coach. Thank you for doing this. And for Darren Urban, Kobe Rich, Richard Mendez, Chris Melvin, and Mark Dalton here at the Indianapolis Combine, we thank you for joining us on azcardinals.com.